Well, we are going to press on in our study of how to practice personal evangelism. And again, the master evangelist to me is actually the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And there is much to learn from the Lord Jesus and his example. And we need to understand the Gospel of John, which records many, many personal instances where the Lord reached out to people. And that's what we were going to study. But in order to study John chapter 3, we will have to look at the background, which we have to piece together in order to understand this message. And this is a word to all of us to remember this, that personal evangelism that is effective will always require us to understand where people are coming from, what people are experiencing, because we are part of society, part of culture, part of history, part of the whole environment. And this is important for us to take note of. The religious hierarchy of Israel in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there was a hierarchy. This hierarchy basically regulated the religious understanding, practices, beliefs, norms of all the people in a nation. You can't sort of develop your own stuff. You can't just simply go ahead and practice your own faith. It's just not acceptable. So everybody had to literally toe the line with reference to how the leaders of the nation actually address matters. Now, in order to understand the hierarchy, you have to understand how it works. Well, there is first what we call the Sanhedrin Council. The Sanhedrin Council is actually the highest ruling religious organization or body of the whole nation. The head of the Sanhedrin Council was the high priest, and they had 70 people. Right, and this 70 people would make up the Sanhedrin Council. It's a number that was taken from the days of Moses in the book of Exodus, where the elders were invited to be with Moses to meet with God. And the number 70 was mentioned. And for Israel, that number 70 is what they call a perfect number. So multiples of 7, which is a perfect number, and then they put times 10, that's a perfect number, and they try to keep it that way. There's no perfection in any number. It's just a symbolic idea. Well, who are the people who make up the Sanhedrin? They would be called chief priests. They would be teachers and rabbis. Little religious sects would be the Pharisees, the Sadducees, a smattering of Herodians. There would be people who were individuals of high standing. And then sometimes the title is a ruler of the Jews. Well, these would be called members of the Sanhedrin Council. So they operated together as a group. From time to time, you might catch one or two mentioned. Well, we're going to look at one of them, and he is called Nicodemus. Well, as we take a look at Nicodemus, and he's this well-described in John chapter 3. Well, he's called a ruler of the Jews, and he was a man of the Pharisees, and this will give you an idea of how Sanhedrin Council members are described. Sometimes in the Gospel of John, they were simply referred to as the Jews. But everybody is a Jew. So when you look at the phrase, the Jews, is actually a reference to members of the ruling class. So they are simply called the Jews. Well, he came to see the Lord Jesus at night. And of course, there's a lot of speculation as to why he came to see the Lord Jesus at night. And there are possible reasons. It is possible that he was afraid to be seen in the day. It's also very possible that being a scholar that he was, the best discussions are in the night. So you have a choice of both. And, you know, we don't know exactly which is the real reason he came in the night. It's possibly, you know, both of them. But Nicodemus came, and it's important because when we try to reach out to people with the gospel, we often assume that it's good news, it's about faith, it's about salvation. Everybody would be happy to receive the gospel. Well, as we look at John 3 and the example of the Lord Jesus meeting with Nicodemus, we begin to realize that that's a false assumption. It's not that people don't want to receive the gospel. Sometimes it's because they don't understand the gospel. They have trouble understanding the crux of the gospel. Well, Nicodemus came, the polite man that he was, the well-cultured man that he was. He greeted the Lord Jesus Christ as Rabbi, which is not an easy term to come by. Nicodemus, being a teacher of the Jews, of Israel, would be called a rabbi. You don't call a person who reads the scriptures a rabbi. You don't call even people who are looking after the synagogue a rabbi. Right? Jairus may be a ruler of the synagogue, but he would not be called a rabbi. Right? So a ruler of the Jews is not the same as a ruler of the synagogue. The ruler of the synagogue is a much smaller position. A ruler of the Jews will tell you that this person is a respected Sanhedrin council member. That title is not given easily. And so he honored the Lord Jesus Christ by calling him Rabbi. And then he went on further to say that you are a teacher come from God. Now, here is an astute teacher. He sees another person, hears another person, straight away he recognizes this person is of some standing, high standing, and he deserved to be given the highest regard, the highest title, rabbi, a teacher sent from God. And of course, his observations are very astute, and he said, no one can do these things unless God is with him. Obviously, it's a reference to the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ must have performed. Now, let's take a look at this very carefully. Right? Being a teacher, being a rabbi, being a teacher of the Jews, of the nation of Israel, he could do none of the things the Lord Jesus Christ did. So he was a real cut above everybody in the Sanhedrin council. The chief priest, the high priest himself cannot perform miracles. It was not a common thing in any way at any time. Well, that's what we are looking at. And so he came to the Lord Jesus. Now, you see, this is an interesting thing. You see, now we have Andrew who came to see the Lord Jesus with John. Now we have another instance of Nicodemus coming to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that happens. So from time to time, we may be asked, but can I see you? Well, by all means. And this is something that you want to understand and appreciate. So as we take a look at this whole idea of coming to the Lord Jesus, remember, the Lord has to be open, he has to be kind, he has to be gracious in every sense of the word. So he has had a whole day working, talking to people, teaching people, preaching to people, healing people, comforting people, and in the night, when you expect people to rest up, there Nicodemus came to see the Lord Jesus, and he was very, very open. But that's what we are looking at. The words of Nicodemus will tell you that he is a well-cultured person, polite, appropriate, socially, you know, proper in every sense of the Lord, of the word. Now, we take a look at the response of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've not recorded what niceties the Lord Jesus Christ said in return. Just because it's not there does not mean that Jesus was rude. That's not the point. What John tries to do in his mastery, in his skill as a person who puts stories together, is to help us to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ did not concentrate on the niceties. Otherwise, it would be a long chapter. So what the Lord Jesus Christ did and teach, and we have to learn from this, is to really get down to what is the crucial issue. Now, among Jewish people, when they greet each other, this is the starting. You politely, you have to ask, oh, how's your father, how's your mother, how's your uncle, how's your auntie, how are the children, how's the family, how's business, how's life? By the time you're done, at 45 minutes would have passed by. And it can be a very, very tiring thing, but just socially done. So what John did was to take away the niceties and give us the whole idea of what the Lord Jesus focused on. And this is important. We learn about focus when we come to evangelism. It's nice to talk about things, that's general, but don't lose focus. And that's what we need to have to look at the focus. What the Lord did not do, okay, we must understand. And what the Lord Jesus Christ focused on, and that teaches us what really, really matters. Well, we take a look at this. So what is the spiritual state of Nicodemus? The Lord Jesus Christ knew it immediately. See, this is important. When we try to practice evangelism, we have to roughly know the state of the person. Of course, we don't have that kind of depth of understanding as the Lord Jesus Christ had. But we must know some basics. So basics are, is the person born again? And you'll be surprised that many people may not be. Right? So you have a situation where people can be enculturated. People can be brought up in the church. And this happens to second or third generation Christian families. The children or the grandchildren may not know the Lord personally. And so they grow up thinking that they are saved when they are not. And so the Lord Jesus Christ helps us to understand what is necessary. And this is important. Now, I still remember when I was in Sarawak many years ago, and there was this young man who came up to me, and I was teaching on John chapter 3 about being born again. And he came up to me and he said, you know, I have been in Sunday school since I was a little toddler. And I have been in church for more than 20 years. And I have never heard anyone talking about being born again. Now that was pretty amazing confession. And so he says, I don't understand. I thought being a Christian means read Bible, go to church, say nice things, be polite. That's being a Christian, isn't it? Well, I said, well, those things are good things for Christians to do, but what is the most important part of it? And it is to be born again. See, a lot of people understand, think of religion, think of Christianity as a list of do's and don'ts. It's nice to carry a Bible, to read a Bible from time to time, to go to church, to greet people, to be polite, to not do bad things, and that is the life of a Christian. But there is one missing factor, and that factor is called born again. Now, Nicodemus knew the scriptures, a teacher of the scriptures, a member of high standing in the Sanhedrin Council. The problem is he was not born again. And to the Lord Jesus, this was critical. And it is important for us to understand. So he began to explain, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the common understanding of Israel would be, if I'm a Jew, I'm part of God's kingdom. If I'm a good standing Jew, I certainly am in the kingdom of God. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ had to prick that balloon and he said, well, that's not how it actually works. So he explained that unless a person is truly born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, meaning to say, you're not part of it. You're not in it. And you're not going in. And so Nicodemus was obviously concerned. And he raised the question, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, that was a big problem with Nicodemus. He had no spiritual perception as to what being born again actually means. His understanding of the scriptures would be historical. It would be ceremonial. It would be legal. But the spiritual part of it was actually lost. And sometimes the spiritual part is lost because we are more focused on the historical, the theological, the ceremonial, the practical, legal part. But where is the spiritual part? And this was actually missing. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to explain to Nicodemus what he meant. And so we have to ask ourselves this too. Do we understand what this is all about? Do we know how to appreciate it? Do we know how to explain it to people? This is something for us to learn. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ explained what it means to be born of the Spirit. And so he uses an idea that the Jews would know, that Nicodemus would know. You always begin with what people know and then enter into what people may not know. Now, we look at this idea of water, for example, and then of the Spirit. Now, the idea of water is a well-known symbol among the Jews. Right? It represents a lot of things. The Psalms talk about how trees are planted by rivers of water. If there is no water to give to the plants, that plants will die. So the idea of water was very well known. In fact, the Jews practiced baptism. They call it ablution. The idea is that of cleansing. And if a person is not cleansed, well, the person remains unclean and out of touch with God, out of favor with God. So the idea of symbol of water as a symbol was very clear to the people, but they don't know how to connect that to the Spirit. So the translation was born of water and of the Spirit. The word "and" can be translated, we call this an ascensive idea, meaning to say, it can be translated as even, to explain the idea of water. Born of water, even of the Spirit, rather than two separate ideas. So this is how you connect. And grammatically, this is logical. So you begin with the known to the less known or to the unknown. You begin with that is understood to that which is profound. So water as a symbol is understood, but it moves on from there to the Spirit, which is less easily understood, but it's important. What it really means is that as one is given life, born of water, so it is when the Spirit of God works in us, we are given life. We are given regeneration. That's what it means. So this is an important thing. So that's what Lord Jesus Christ was trying to explain to Nicodemus. A person cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless he is given life, unless he is regenerated by the Spirit. Even as water is to what water is to life, the Spirit of God is to our spiritual life. Without the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, giving us new life, there is no way in which we can be born again. And so the Lord Jesus Christ did a similar thing. Now he compared the flesh with the spirit. So then we have first comparison, water and the spirit. Now we see a contrast between the flesh and the spirit. Now this is profound teaching. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ took this approach because he's speaking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is supposed to be a teacher. He's supposed to be a famous teacher of Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ would tell him, I hope that you will understand what this means. That which is born of the flesh will always be flesh, naturally so. But that which is born of the spirit will obviously also be of the spirit, in other words, spiritual. And that was something that needs to be repeated. So the Lord Jesus Christ, do not marvel, I said to you, you must be born again. So then we have another illustration. And this time it is with reference to the wind. And so water and wind. Now the wind. Well, you hear the sound of the wind. But where the wind comes from, you don't know. Where it is going, you also don't know. This is something that is well understood. Winds can change direction. And this is always the fear and the dread of mariners, of people who work in the sea. In the ancient days, when everybody depended upon the wind for wind power, sail power, much depends on the wind. The wind can stop blowing, in which the case you have a doldrum. The wind can blow in the direction that you don't hope it will go. You would have lost direction immediately. It can hit you in a way that you cannot explain or cannot expect, and a ship can even be wrecked. Well, this is the experience of John Newton, and this was something that he had to experience. The ship was so battered, many people were afraid they would lose their lives. Some lost their lives. But it was wind power, wind direction, which the captain and others could not master, could not understand and appreciate or control, certainly. So this is what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to Nicodemus. It's like the wind. The Spirit of God is like the water. It gives life. It's like the wind. And you cannot see the wind. It is an invisible thing, but there are clear, visible manifestations. Right? In the same way, the Spirit of God his work may not be fully comprehended, may not be fully understood, but it is going to manifest itself in very definite, clear, visible ways. Well, Nicodemus could not understand. And this is a reminder to us when we share the gospel. But we cannot expect that there will be full understanding immediately. How can these things be? Nicodemus asked the Lord Jesus. Well, one part of it, we have to stop here today, and then we continue next week. And this is a reminder to us that evangelism sometimes may not be transacted in half an hour. It may not be understood in a brief 20 minutes or thereabouts. There has got to be something else. And we have to be open to have another meeting, to have another session, to struggle with the person listening to the gospel so that the person will not feel rushed. The person will understand the gospel. And so we look at how the Lord Jesus Christ did this. First, he understood where Nicodemus was coming from. And that's what we need. In evangelism, we need to know where the person is coming from. We have to roughly assess what level of spiritual understanding the person actually has. And then move from there. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And so he said to the person, Nicodemus, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things?" Sometimes it astonishes us that people who come from Christian background, go to church, our parents are Christians, and they even read the Bible from time to time, actually know so very little about spiritual matters. Let's not be surprised by this, but press on. And so the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what was the spiritual state of Nicodemus. One, he lacked vital knowledge. Two, he needed deep instruction. Three, being Nicodemus, he needed time to contemplate. You cannot hurry people who need to take time to think things through, work things out. So it is with evangelism. You cannot simply say, 1, 2, 3. Right? Admit you're a sinner, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess the Lord Jesus as Savior, A, B, C, and you think that that's how it works. It doesn't work like that in reality. So you cannot come up with, this is your method. Frankly, I don't have a method. Is there a specific method? Frankly, no. I adopt what the Lord Jesus Christ did. I assess the person. I look at the situation. In the back of my mind, there are many possible scenarios, and you try to understand the person first. Then the second part of it is to look into the matter of how we can understand and appreciate this. How do we bring in the gospel? Don't be afraid of teaching things which may not be seemingly easy. See, the purpose is not to make things easier, just to state the truth. But we must do everything we can to help people understand the truth. Is it by illustration? Is it by explanation? Is it by personal example? Whichever it is that is important, that the person can understand. In that direction, we must go. But the essentials must be there. One must be born again of the Spirit of God. One must be given regeneration by the Spirit of God. One must be given new life by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, there isn't true salvation. And that is what evangelism is all about. We want to help people come to a true understanding and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how long it may take, let's do this patiently, let's do this prayerfully, let's do this as we should, gently, and we will be able to make much better progress. But ponder these thoughts as we learn about how we can share our faith with people. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to know your word, and we pray that you will bless us. Help us to understand what it means to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and his example. Help us to understand how to be sensitive, how to be gracious, how to be gentle, and yet how to be deep. So that when we present the gospel, it will be something that can be understood. It will be something that will be graciously presented. And we pray that you will help us to press on learning how to understand what evangelism is all about. We ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.